entrepreneurialism is that it's indifferent, and the whole process is a process of trial and errors, and it definitely doesn't care what you look like. It doesn't care what color you are. It doesn't care what gender you are. Yeah. It will slap you upside the head and devastate you if you do anything technically wrong. And so for me, I, in the midst of the highest point in my career where I thought I owned the world, which was May of 2001, I got a call from my investors, majority investors, who flew me to New York after I'd done this remarkable international transaction. And they literally went from, that was the best transaction we've ever seen, Brandon, but you put some debt in front of our equity, so you're fired and we're selling your company. Like,
finally here. Welcome to Do It With Dan.
Entrepreneurial philanthropist, public speaker and author, creator of the Beyond Intention Paradigm. Here is your host, Daniel Mengena.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, as always, Daniel Mengena, here with a rather fascinating chap. I had the opportunity to meet Brandon at the beginning of this part of my journey and also the beginning of this part of his. So it's been interesting to watch him grow, beyond the monster that he was already, in a very beautiful way, and just do some awesome things with entrepreneurs through Cardone Ventures. He's an inspirational person, built up his own business, exited that without, you didn't really have much, did you? You kind of like built it up from pretty much nothing all the way up to your exit, didn't you?
Yeah, I started it, grew it, and sold it for 77 times EBITDA, $151 million.
As beautiful monsters have wanted to do. So we're going to find out a bit more about Brandon, his story, and see what he has to pour into us. So without me waffling on anymore, Brandon, why don't you let the people know who you are and what it is you do in the world?
Yeah, I'm Brandon Dawson, a serial entrepreneur. I am co-founder and CEO of Cardone Ventures, a business I started 3.5 years ago with my business partner, Grant Cardone, Mr. 10X.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So Brandon, one of the things I love to find out from entrepreneurs, because as you and I both know, entrepreneurship isn't the easy road that a lot of people make it out to be. Entrepreneurship's become the sexy thing over the last sort of half a decade or so, but a lot of people don't really get what really goes into entrepreneurship. Was there a time when you thought, I'm going to be an entrepreneur? Was entrepreneurship something that kind of just became you as you grew and got into the world?
I thought I was going to grow up in a family business and take it over one day. And when those plans changed due to a divorce between my mother and my stepfather, I decided I was going to go out on my own and build my own business. And so, you know, I've always been entrepreneurial. And my mom, stepdad, my dad, when they divorced, they also had some entrepreneurialism in them. Mm-hmm. And so I was around it, but I was always a crafty kid that could figure things out. And I liked being able to do that.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I think I started my business the same reason most people start their business, which isn't to become an entrepreneur, but it's because of what you don't want.
Yeah.
Most business owners start their business because they don't want a boss. They don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be held accountable. They don't want limitations on their earnings. They want the freedom and flexibility to work, live, and earn the way they want to. So they start their business from what they don't want, somebody constraining or restricting them from doing that. And then they go start a business so they can go get that. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what most entrepreneurs, how they become entrepreneurs.
Mm, awesome, awesome. And with Cardone Ventures, you guys, I mean, I see you guys out there, rooms full of entrepreneurs, putting them on the game. What are some of the shifts that you witnessed in your own journey from, I don't want those constraints, I don't want a boss telling me what to do, I want my freedom? Because when you get into the entrepreneurial journey, you find, well, the clients tell you what to do. There are constraints on cash flow and this and that and all the other things. And you do need to be problem solving and crafty in order to navigate those. But what are some of the key things in your journey that supported you in then supporting entrepreneurs as you do now with Cardone Ventures, empowering them to really 10X their business?
Well, my first business, I started it, you know, I was a high school graduate, barely got out of high school. I had developed great sales skills, and when I was 26 years old, I decided to go start my first company. And by 29, doing everything everyone said, by the way, everyone will tell you what you can't do. And I was told by everyone what I couldn't do, and that was what my dream was. I wanted to be a public company CEO. I wanted to go to New York and raise money on Wall Street. And I wanted to learn that game from a little town from Corvallis, Oregon. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, dude, you're not smart enough. There's no way you're going to do it. And the thing is, by 29 years old, I rang the opening bell of the American Stock Exchange. And I built a business that was doing $75 million of revenue from the age of 26 to 29. And really started doing and experiencing some remarkable things. But I didn't know what I didn't know. And I think the thing about entrepreneurialism is that it's indifferent. And it's the whole process is a process of trial and errors, and it definitely doesn't care what you look like. It doesn't care what color you are. It doesn't care what gender you are. Yep. It will slap you upside the head and devastate you if you do anything technically wrong. And so, for me, I in the midst of the highest point in my career where I thought I owned the world, which was May of 2001, I got a call from my investors, majority investors, who flew me to New York after I had done this remarkable international transaction. And they literally went from, that was the best transaction we've ever seen, Brandon, but you put some debt in front of our equity, so you're fired and we're selling your company. Like, no more. I went from the highest point in my career to my lowest point by the end of May of 2001. So I can tell you, it isn't what you know that gets you in trouble. It's what you don't even know you should know. And that's what I learned in my first experience as an entrepreneur. I went from having a $10 million net worth at 29 years old to only getting paid 2 years of severance after they sold my company out from underneath me. So it was a big lesson. And it cost me hundreds of millions of dollars. And then looking back on it, it was my own fault.
Mm-hmm. I think what you just said is one of the most powerful things that we can do, not just as entrepreneurs, not just as men, but as humans, is to be able to accept, oh, I cocked up there. What can I learn from it? Because I don't know about you, but I often see so many people that are quick to blame other people, who's responsible, oh, look what they did, rather than, okay, what can I learn from that? Do you find that that trait was something that you had at the time, or did you have to look back and see, oh, I did
that? No, dude, I was pissed. I was a victim. I was a victim bitch. I was pissed. And after a year and a half of being a pissed off, hurt, wronged victim bitch, one of my mentors said, dude, you are living in the past. What made you remarkable is that you can live in the future and go chase it and get things done, doing things that no one else believed you could do. And now all you're doing is reliving being a victim, tortured little bitch. And until you change that, nothing in your life's gonna change. And so he said, take a piece of paper out and on the left side, write down all the things that you did that everyone said you couldn't do, your superpower. On the right side, write down the things you identified that maybe if you had a chance to do it again, you would do it entirely different. And look at the facts, look at the data to justify that position. And when I went home and did that exercise, it was easy to identify my superpowers. But then I had to get into the pain. And what I realized is I didn't take responsibility for leadership. I was a dictator. I wasn't developing my leadership skills. I was just cramming down on people. I didn't take responsibility for learning. See, I was a 2.4 GPA, math was horrible. I didn't take any ownership over actually understanding, developing, and learning the financial aspects of our business. I completely abdicated it to the CFO and never worked with them, just assuming that they knew what they were doing. There were so many technical mistakes. When I peeled the scab off, I really had to get honest with myself. And what I realized is if I could fix all the things on the right side and take accountability, and I could exemplify and do the things on the left side, and I could figure that out, no matter what business I figured it out in, if I tracked how I did it, then I could help all these other entrepreneurs fall in my footsteps. And so I went from all this pain and agony, and I went over back to Hector and said, hey, here's what I did. And he's like, dude, now you're going to go crazy. And he gave me a bunch of books. John Maxwell, 21 Years of Laws of Leadership. Michael Gerber, E-Myth on Process. Jim Collins, Good to Great on What Makes Businesses Great and Makes Businesses Fail. Beyond Positive Thinking by Dr. Robert Anthony on how to get your mind right, how to set your intentions and how to take action and how to manifest and create the realities you want. Like, he had them all in his library and he handed them to me. And I ripped through those books and I engineered with a cigar and two bottles of wine one night my business strategy. And I launched that business in the end of 2004. I never raised any money. I never borrowed any money. I never had a non-profitable month. I never had a non-profitable quarter. I never had a non-profitable year. And I built that business over 14 years from startup to a $35 million business that was making anywhere from $3 to $5 million a year. And in the last 3 years, between 2013 and 16, I hired a research firm, FTI out of Chicago, and we looked at thousands of industries where I could go help entrepreneurs do what I was doing and not put their business at risk by growing and scaling it correctly. And we actually started that work in 2009, and I hired a bunch of kids out of Stanford and Wharton and a couple out of Harvard and University of Portland and built a team to do that research, looking at consolidations, looking at roll-up strategies, disruptors in marketplaces. And we broke down 4,000 businesses across 100 different verticals and force ranked all their growth and issues they had. And I created this system. And in 2016, I sold my business for $151 million, 77 times EBITDA, one of the highest values paid, because I took all that research and technology. I overlaid it on top of 8 potential acquirers of my business. I put it on top of their business. I researched their businesses and their customers. And I presented to them, if they acquired me and I deployed what we do to their customers would grow so much that their business would grow by 2.5 to 3 billion in value. And I told them I want 10% of that. And that was my sales pitch. And I had 8 presentations, I had 8 bidders, and I ran 2 off in the final stages. And then I was acquired in 2016, July 1st of 2016.
Boss moves, boss moves. So you flipped the game on its head. You were saying, hey, this is the value I'm going to bring to you. This is where your weaknesses are. This is where you having me is going to be stronger. And I want my 10 points on that.
And you, I think you and I, didn't we meet right after that transaction?
We met just after that. Yeah.
We were hanging out.
I
had to integrate and do the work for them from 2016 to 2019. And you and I met like in 2016 or 17 at the, I think
Chilena.
We met.
It was Chilena.
At Chileno Bay and became friends. Bay. Yep.
Yeah.
And now you see where I'm at today. So I partnered with Grant Cardone because the guy's number one world-class marketing and sales guy in the world. Mm-hmm. Like there's no one anywhere near his superpower. And he was the first guy to start crowdfunding multifamily housing. And at the time he had crowdfunded $250 million. And had $1 billion of multifamily under contract, and then he had a sales and marketing company. Well, I do everything else. I do strategy for business. I understand sales and marketing, but also people, finances, leadership, data, technology, deployment and implementation across the scaling process, and then investment thesis, when and how to invest in things that will add value to your business. When I showed Grant that at Chileno Bay, they were in Mexico and I invited him over and I showed it to him after going to his 2019 10X growth conference in Miami, Florida. And I said, hey, I've got a way to add a couple billion to your name and a couple billion to mine and totally complement what I've seen at this show where he had 35,000 people. It's unbelievable. And he goes, dude, I'd love to see it. And about a month later, he was vacationing in Cabo. So I flew down there with Natalie and my daughter, and we got together with him, invited him to Chileno Bay, and I showed him what we do. And he said, I've always wanted to do something like this. And we launched that company in the summer of 2019.
Awesome, so awesome. Yeah, I think I remember watching the movement over into the building up with Grant and seeing what you guys are doing now. It's really awesome. He's someone I think I first read his book in 2015 15, I think I read 10X.
Yeah, the 10X rule or
yeah,
seller.
10X rule.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, because I love, I mean, I was just on Necker Island with Sir Richard Branson week before last, I think I was there. And people like him, people like Grant, people like you who didn't, like, Sir Richard, he just ordinary family, dyslexic, everyone said he couldn't do it. Grant told his story, coming up in the streets of Florida, you know, not having anyone give it, hand anything to him, just going out and getting it. People ripping your company from under you and you having to build up. I love those stories because when you see, and you look, I'm sure you agree with me, this, sorry for the people that are going to be offended by it, not really, this nonsensical thing about eat the rich and bring down rich people and blah, blah, blah. When at the end of the day, people who are creating value, creating jobs, inspiring others, moving humanity forward are what humanity needs. Not more people saying pull people down. I think it's just a really ludicrous, really, really ludicrous approach. And having these inspiring stories of people that built up from literally ground zero to go and do awesome things, that should be inspiring people that want to go and do awesome things in medicine, that want to go or do awesome things in agriculture, that want to go and do awesome things in education. I think it's great to see inspiring stories of people who build up and create something, because it doesn't have to be entrepreneurship, because not everyone's meant to be an entrepreneur. But I think it's great to have these inspiring stories about people who build up and growing things. And so it's been
and awesome. And the things I'm most proud about is it wasn't just me creating. When I sold that business, I distributed one third of the cash to all of my customers that had been with me for the when I started the company. Amazing. And to every one of my employees. And I had over 290 business owners that I took and made them millionaires or multimillionaires over that 14-year window. And Amazing. So teaching people how to find, attract, align, develop, and retain key talent, and then helping that talent help them build their business to create wealth for everybody is how mm-hmm. I've become successful. Today, mm-hmm. I have $1.8 billion of business owners I'm working with in just under 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. So teaching them exactly how to start, grow, scale, and eventually exit their business at a premium. And mm-hmm. and so, you know, Daniel, I launched this thing 3.5 years ago, and in year one, we did $14 million in revenue from startup with no invested dollars and no debt. Year two, we did $38 million in revenue. And last year, we did $83 million. And we're spinning off 5 new companies this year. We'll do $130 to $150 million in our fourth full year.
Amazing.
And that business and all those revenues are coming in partnership of helping entrepreneurs and business owners learn how to attract the right people to help them do the right things in the right order and the right sequences in order to mm-hmm. blow their businesses up. And the thing I'm most proud about is I saved about 250 businesses by working with them during COVID. And we tracked every single one of those businesses from almost having catastrophic events to actually growing and scaling them 2 to 3x from where they were then. This Amazing. Is the work I love to do. And, mm-hmm. and for people that want to throw shade at me for having a jet or having beautiful cars or living a great lifestyle, let me just tell you, when shit hits the fan, I'll be the first person that will drop whatever I'm doing to come help you if you're a good person. And exactly. and that's something I'm very proud of.
Well, I mean, I've had the chance to spend time with you, obviously, and Natalie and a couple of your daughters as well. And I know that you are actually a good person who actually cares about the people that you work with. You're not a stuck up twat. You like to have fun and play your computer games and stuff. You're a good human that I think just wants to add value into the world. And I think if there's apart from the amazing strategies that you shared with people and even the advice that your mentor gave you, which I really do hope the listeners took on board, and I'll make sure the team put the list of those books in the show notes too. Being a good person that actually wants to add value is one of the premium things I think that you can do. If you want to get rich, if you want to add value to the world, doing it by collaborating with people, by adding to them is the quickest way to do it. I mean, everyone that I know, much to your point, it's not just about having money, it's about having quality of life, because there's plenty of people that got a lot of money but they've got a really crappy life,
you know, right? I say Grant and I have a favorite saying, and I tell people, you know, the highest form of currency is something that you can exchange with somebody else in order to create value for you and them, right? People think a mm-hmm. currency is just money. Mm-hmm. The highest form of currency is collaboration. Mm. Because you're not taxed on it. Mm-hmm. You get the benefits of helping each other succeed. Mm-hmm. And so what Grant always says is, would you rather have $1 million in the bank, or would you rather have 1 million people you're collaborating with and that you're friends with? Because here's the thing, if you had 1 million people, making $1 million a month is easy. If you had $1 million and you're the only one that has it, then you're the only one having fun, and a lot of people want to take it from you. Mm-hmm. So collaboration is the highest form of currency you can have. So when you can go in and create a network of people who can support and complement each other and add value to each other, you magnify and multiply the impact and the value that each individual person contributes. And there's no other proof of that than look at public companies. If you're a private small company, you're worth maybe 3 to 5 times your earnings. Mm-hmm. If you're a public company, you could be trading at 30 to 50 times your earnings. Why? Because presumably you've got more people that are interested in what you're doing. They see the value in what you're doing, and they're willing to invest in it. And if you're a small business owner, you got to go out and create that, because statistically, you know, there's 3 sectors that employ 67% of the workforce domestically. They generate 45% of the GDP. There's 31.5 million of those businesses. They employ all those people, create the whole GDP, and yet that sector, those industries only represent 8% in the stock market. So when you think about, and 31.5 million business owners in the United States that are under 125 million, 97% of them go out of business every 10 years, 2/3 of them won't even make it past the first 5 years, 25 million of them work by themselves. It's hard to build something of high value. And if you got 25 million of the 31.5 million sitting around working by themselves, not collaborating, not cooperating, not coordinating, then they're going to stay broke.
I love those. And I was actually going to pull on those, because the statistics, one of the reasons why I always say entrepreneurship isn't for everyone, because the statistics on the number of businesses that fail is ridiculous. And I would say even say that the statistics on the on what makes a business successful are ridiculous as well. I always laugh. Being in the personal development industry, when people talk about, oh, I'm going to help you make a six-figure business. Six figures isn't shit. You can't do anything with six figures. You're not even middle class in most major cities in the US unless you're doing at least $250,000. And that's after you've been taxed and all of the things. That's just for you to be treading water. I even laughed, like, I got my, finally, it took me a year for them to, for ClickFunnels to verify me to get my 2 Comma Club award. But even like doing multiple 7 figures last year, still ain't shit. I still can't jump on the jet. Like, I'm still pouring money back into the business to grow the business. It's like, for you to really have value, to really, really do numbers. And I mean, you were there from the beginning of my journey. When I think when I met you, I was just about cracking the multiple 6 figures. I wasn't even really doing the what we're doing now. But over the years, especially spending time, I love to spend time with people that are infinitely more successful than me. When you see that, like, if you want to do big things, if you want to be of value, if you want to be of contribution, if you want to have a good life, not just for you, but for your family, you want to look at generational wealth, you really need to be looking at doing in real numbers. And the fact is that most people aren't. And that's why I think it's really important that podcasts like this, where I get to bring thought leaders like you who know what they're doing and can share their experience with people, are so important. Because there are so many entrepreneurs that are running around, you know, flashing, you know, bullshit numbers at the end of the day, when real numbers, for that to happen, there's real change and real shifts that really need to happen. So I think that's great.
And you know, that I tell, so everyone that I coach, I give them this advice. And the advice is, the quality of your questions will always determine the impact of your results. If you're going to get any advice, any guidance, any opinion of anybody, there's a formula for doing it. The formula is, first, you got to know what your goals and targets are. If you don't know what you want, then getting anybody else's perspective about it is going to be useless, because most people don't know how to help you get there. And those that do know will think that you're not serious, because you don't have targets, you don't have goals. Second thing is, before you ask anybody a question about their opinion, thought, or guidance on what you should do, qualify the person you're talking to. The way I qualify them is, hey, first question I ask, if you're going to give me any opinion or any idea or any concept outside of what I'm paying you to tell me, like an accountant or a lawyer, right? So don't give me business advice if you fail these questions, if you're a lawyer or an accountant. First question, what's the most amount of money you've ever made in a single year? If I have a target to make $1 million or $10 million or $100 million a year, I ain't talking to anybody who's never done it. I don't even care what you think about it, because if you haven't done it, You're not going to think it can be done, and you're going to give me all the excuses why it can't be done. Second question. What's the single biggest thing you've ever built? If it's a business issue, what's the single biggest thing you've ever built quantified by three elements? Number one, revenues. Number two, number of employees. And number three, profitability. Because if I want to build a $10 million, $100 million, or $1 billion business, and you've not done any of those, I really don't care. Or if you have built a $10 million business, but it never made any money, I don't want to listen to you because you didn't know what you were doing. And the third question is, what's the biggest exit you've ever had? What's the most amount of money you've ever taken off the table from selling something? Because 99.5% of all entrepreneurs build their business, and when they think, I'm tired, I'm burned out, I'm done, then they go, huh, I wonder how much my business is worth. And then they fight to try to get the highest value in the least amount of time. And it's usually when they're under stress or duress or friction, resistance, anxiety, and they've already got fear introduced, it's when their businesses plateau. And I watch this on the data, and their cost structures start coming up and up and up. And next thing you know, they're like, shit, I might as well sell. It's real money now. And they get taken advantage of by the private equity groups. So I don't want to listen to somebody. If my target is to build a $10 million or $100 million or $1 billion net worth, I want to talk to somebody who started a business, made the kind of money I want to make while I'm working, over what years. And trust me, if you're talking to the right person, like I can tell you, every year at Odigy from 2014 until 2016, when I sold, I can tell you every single year how much revenue I did and how much profit I made, okay? Mm-hmm. Since the inception of Cardone Ventures, I can tell you year one, exactly how much revenue, exactly how much profit. Year two, exactly how much revenue, exactly how much profit. And I invite the thousands of clients I work with, for any of them that want to test what I'm telling them, they are invited in to sit and go month over month over month through our P&Ls. They can see our revenue, they can see our cost structure, our revenue per employee, and our profitability, which is what we teach. And they can go and sit with my CFO, as long as they're a serious contender, they're somebody who really wants to work with us, and they can go month over month over month from inception. Because I think that the number one issue with business owners taking guidance and advice from accountants, from friends, from family members, from employees, from other business owners at association events and things like this, is it's generally horseshit advice based on emotion, not fact. And most of the time they're lying because they're embarrassed about the actual results. And as soon as you ask somebody what any of those three questions, they're like, well, I can't tell you because it's confidential. They're lying or they're embarrassed. Okay. So you got to flush out the bullshit. And this is the thing, Daniel, because I knew nothing about social media when you and I are hanging out in 2019.
You're blowing up now on the socials.
I had no social media. I was an idiot, dude. I was a neophyte.
You're blowing up now, though. You're blowing up now on the socials.
Now I understand the power of social media. But let me tell you, there are so many bullshitters. These guys hawking business ideas and scaling programs who've been in prison and who they're just entirely full of shit. Mm-hmm. And what I would tell a business owner is you owe yourself the responsibility to quantify and qualify whom you're going to allow into your mind. And for me, what I have found with inviting them to do that, it's been a value proposition from my side because I'm so transparent. And everything I've done has been transparent. I've been in the public markets since I was 26 years old. You can see where I started my company, where I took it public. You can see where I got fired. You can see when I launched my new company. You can read about our Inc. 500, 5,000 awards for six straight years, Entrepreneur of the Year award three different times. You can read all that shit, right? All the way up to everything I've done with Grant Cardone. So fortunately for me, I've been very judicial in having a spotless career and disclosed everything. And so, you know, no lawsuits, no problems, and a business that's blown through the roof with a partner who is a master. He's raised over $1 billion in crowdfunding, something nobody in the whole world has ever done. Mm-hmm. We own more multifamily, almost $4.5 billion in the most beautiful investment products. And places I would live in, and we're just exploding this 10X brand across the world.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. So just want to take a quick tangent over to Who's the kind of person who would really be served by what you guys are doing at Cardone Ventures? What's the kind of business that should be thinking, I need to go and check out this website and see about coming to a 360 event or whatever? What's the kind of person who should be thinking about that?
Anybody. This is what I tell anybody who can generate $250,000 to $500,000 of revenue per employee. So that's why those 25 million people work by themselves. That's the hurdle number one. Can you generate $250,000 to $500,000 of revenue working by yourself? And if not, we'll show you how to do it. But there's one other qualifier. It has to be legal, it has to be moral, and it has to be ethical. And those aren't your legal, moral, and ethical inclinations. They're Grant's and mine. There are certain businesses, like in the marijuana space and things, that we won't partner with. You can go to our education programs. There are certain medical procedures and things people do that we don't align with. So like, you can come and be educated, but we won't partner with you and we won't become your growth engine. But we, you can go to all of our programs and be educated. So if you're legal, moral, and ethical, and you can generate $250,000 to $500,000 of revenue per single employee in whatever you're doing, I can take you to $25 million very quickly, and then to $125 million if you have the resilience to want to do that.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Brandon, we've covered a lot today. My mind's blown. I'm always blown away every time I get the opportunity to pick that brain of yours. I always walk away really full up, and I'm sure the listeners are too. Is this something that you feel that the listener should know or should have heard that I haven't covered in what I've asked you today?
No, I think most people are going to listen to it, and they're going to run it through their filters of whatever's going on in their life. And if, you know, all activity follows belief. So if you've created the conditions in your life where you have low belief about what's possible because you keep making mistakes, you're listening to the wrong people, you're self-concerned only, then you're going to hear this and you're going to have your own filter, and you're going to have low belief about, is it really possible for you, and am I full of shit? If you're a person that's got high belief, you are inspired, you're driven, you want to accomplish something, you're frustrated and you're open, you're going to hear this and go, maybe I should check into that because I could really use some help. And if you're ignorant or arrogant, you're going to assume I can't help you because you're smarter than me. And if you're aware and curious, you're going to go to the site and say, what is this guy really doing? And does it apply to me? And I just think that the people who are aware and curious are the most fun to work with anyway. And the people who are ignorant or arrogant, that's one of our filters. We have no desire to work with them. So literally, the people who are like, this sounds interesting, I should check into it more, I should get Grant's books, I should listen to him, I should watch Brandon and Grant talk and maybe present ourselves to see if it works, we'll find them and they'll know that it's the right place for them. And then for the rest of them, we'll eventually get to them when the pain gets great enough.
Love it, love it, love it. Well, Brandon, thank you so much for stopping by. I know your schedule's really crazy. It's taken us a while to be able to coordinate and get this done, but it's definitely worth every minute of it.
Dude, it's so good to see you. Are you still down in Cabo?
I am, but I've been spending a lot of time in Dubai. I'm building up something in Dubai at the moment, so I'm actually going back.
You know, we've got some big things happening in Dubai as well, especially in our 10X Health business. And
well,
so
let me know when you're out there. I'm sure we can link up and have a bit of dinner.
100%. And I'm going to be, I don't know if you're in Cabo, but I'll be there the 13th through like the 18th or 19th.
I'm going to be gone by then. I'm leaving next.
Well, I'll see you on the next turn then, or I'll see you in Dubai.
Oh, 100%, 100%. Looking forward to it. So everyone tuning in, go back over this, take some notes. You guys know I don't bring bullshitters on the show. You can go and check Brandon's stats. He's someone who I've got to meet personally and gotten to know personally, him and his lovely family. He knows what he's talking about. And if you haven't heard of Grant Cardone, you shouldn't probably be listening to this podcast anyway, because you shouldn't be in business. But this is the caliber of person who can really take you to the next level. Go and check out Cardone Ventures. Check out what they're doing. If you want to move beyond success and start really growing and scaling your business so you can be of contribution, you can have that freedom, you can have that abundant life, this is definitely someone you can check out. So until next time, keep dreaming with your eyes open. Remember, you can consciously choose a more abundant, joyful, purpose-driven life. And I'll see you on the next one.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Do It With Dan with your host, Daniel McGenna. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit dmpotv.com. We'll catch you on the next episode of Do It With Dan.